Well, thank you for letting us come and speak tonight. It's a privilege to be here. And we're going to start this time together with a good harvest hymn, 732. We plough the field and scatter, 732. See all this food behind me, and it's great to know that the Lord has provided for us, and he has provided in this year past, and I'm sure he'll provide in the year to come. I just want to read from Psalm 65. I think I'm going to read the whole psalm, but it's a great psalm, and the end of it really points towards harvest and what the Lord has done for us. So Psalm 65:5. Praise is awaiting you, O God in Zion. To you the vow shall be performed. O you who hear prayer, to you all flesh will come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, you'll provide atonement for them. Blessed is the man you choose and cause to approach you, that he may dwell in your courts. He shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, of your holy temple. By awesome deeds in righteousness you will answer us, O God of our salvation. You who are the confidence of all the ends of the earth, of the far-off seas, who established the mountains by his strength, being clothed with power. You who still the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the peoples. They also will dwell in the farthest parts, are afraid of your signs. You make the outgoings of the morning and the evening rejoice. And then this is really what the Lord has done for us in the year gone. You visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. The rivers of God is full of water. You provide your grain, for so you have prepared it. Your water, it ridges abundantly. You settle its furrows. You make it soft with showers. You bless its growth. You crown the year with your goodness. Your paths drip with abundance. They drop on the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered with grain. They shout for joy. They also sing. Let us just pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that you're a God who provides. That everything that we have in life is being given by you. That you own a cattle on a thousand hills. And yes, Lord, you have provided for each and every one of us in this year gone past. But Lord, as we look to the future, as we look to the year to come, I pray that and thank you that you will also provide. Lord, it's a wonderful picture. Yes, the valleys or the pastures are clothed with flocks and the valleys also covered with grain. How that is so true of this last summer. You really have provided for us. But Lord, I thank you that even more so you've provided for us spiritually. That through the Lord Jesus, we have salvation pure and free because of what you did there on the cross. So Lord, as we come to look into your word, as we come to worship you, Lord, would we sing you praises? Yes, we thank you for what you've done for us physically, but Lord, we praise and worship you for what you've done spiritually for each and every one of us. So as we look to you now, meet with us this night in Christ's precious name. Amen.
Amen.
So the next hymn that we'll sing is 506, O Lord My God. I see the stars, I hear the mighty thunder that far throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee. How great thou art! How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art.
When through the woods and forest glades I wander, sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Sent him to die, I step and take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. When Christ my soul, my God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then shall I bow in humble adoration and take the claim, our God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Right, so our reading is a very well-known reading, a very well-known passage, and it's from Luke 8, Luke chapter 8, verse 4, and it's the parable of the sower. And when a great multitude had gathered, they had come to him from every city, and he spoke by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down. And the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop 100-fold. When he had said these things, he cried, "He who has an ear to hear, let him hear." Then his disciples asked him, saying, "What does this parable mean?" And he said, "To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it has been given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they are here, receive the word with joy. These have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. Now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on good ground are those who hear, those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. So that's the passage that we're going to look at. We'll just have another hymn, and then we'll see what the Lord has to say through that passage. Number 200, "Great is thy faithfulness."
Great is thy faithfulness. thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, now forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, the moon and stars in their courses above, joined with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Sin and a peace that endureth, thine only a presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, blessings all thine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto
just pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray as we come before your word, I pray that it would change us, I pray that it would convict us and draw us nearer to yourself. I thank you that your word is written by you and not really by man, that you use it in marvellous ways. So as we come before it now, pray that you would speak through me to each one here, that you would touch each and every one of our hearts. In Christ's precious name. Amen. So have you ever gone into your garden and decided to plant something? And expected it to grow and produce much, much fruit or loads of flowers or all sorts of different things. Just a few months ago, me and Rosie were helping out Mum and Dad on the farm. And as we got there, they were planting some peas in some flower beds. In one flower bed, they were planting some sweet peas that were hopefully going to grow and produce many, many flowers and look nice. And in another flower bed, they were planting some garden peas. And it would hopefully produce some peas to have with our taties on a Sunday dinner. Now those both of those kind of peas were planted in the same place. They had the same amount of sun, the same amount of water, but really they had a different outcome. The sweet peas grew up and looked like they were going to produce loads of flowers and looked really nice, but they actually withered away. They never produced one flower. Don't ask me why, but they didn't. But the garden peas, they grew and grew, and they were fairly high, and suddenly all these pods started to appear on them. And a few weeks after the pods had been on them, those pods were full, ripe to be eaten. And we were eating peas for breakfast, dinner and tea. And we were literally having them for snacks and all sorts. There was loads of them. There was absolutely loads. You see, it's funny, you can plant something in the same place, have the same amount of sun, the same amount of water, but it can produce something completely different. Those sweet peas didn't produce anything. The garden peas produced much. And tonight, when we come to look at this passage, it's a very well-known passage, the parable of the sower. But it's the same in this passage. You sow your seed, it falls on different kinds of soil, but it produces different kinds of fruit in many ways. Three of them don't produce any fruit, and one of them produces a lot. And really, it all depends on what kind of soil that seed is thrown upon. The seed's not different, the seed's the same, but it all depends on what kind of soil that the seed falls upon. But before we dig into this passage, let us just see what Jesus is saying and who Jesus is saying this to. In verse 4 it says, "And when a great multitude had gathered, and they had come from to him from every city, and he spoke by a parable." So Jesus was before a great multitude. It doesn't say how many people. It could have been hundreds, it could have been thousands. He was before a vast amount of people. It wasn't a little group, it wasn't just the disciples. These could have been people he'd healed, he'd discipled along the way. It could have been people that had just come along because they'd heard about this miracle working man and they wanted to hear what he had to say. And how does Jesus start this parable? He says, "A sower went out to sow his seed." Now, a question that arises in my mind, who in the world is this sower? Who's the sower that's sowing this seed? Well, the same account in Matthew's Gospel, in Matthew 13, actually says that the sower is the Son of Man. But it's Jesus. He's the sower of this seed. At this point, he's sowing this seed to this people. But in many ways, it isn't just Jesus. You see, when we sow the seed of the gospel to the people around us, we're doing the same as what Jesus was doing. In Luke 10, it says these words. Jesus said them. He who hears you, hears me. He who rejects you, rejects me. He who rejects me rejects him who sent me. So yes, Christ was the sower, but if we're sowing the same kind of seed, we're part with that sower. We are a sower in many ways. So we've seen the sower, we've seen who the sower is. But what in the world is this seed? Well, I've already alluded to, but in verse 11, it actually tells us what this seed is. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The seed is the word of God. Seed is the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the good news that Jesus offers forgiveness to us all. He offers us forgiveness to everyone who come to him by faith, simply because of his grace and his mercy towards each one of us. Simply because Jesus died on our behalf, took our sin upon himself so that we could be forgiven. He became the judgment for our sin that we deserve. It's a wonderful gospel message that gives life. I want to just look at a few similarities between the seed and the gospel message. First, seed is a given thing. It's a given thing. What I mean by that is seed is not made, it's not manufactured, it's not made in a factory, can't make seed, it's not made in a lab. It's a given thing. Another plant has to make that seed. And you see, the way of salvation, it's a given thing. It's not made by humans. It's not thought up in righteous and religious rulers. It's not thought up in religious buffs' minds. It's not thought up by Justin Welby. No. It's a given thing. And it's been given by God. No human could have ever invented the way to have peace with God. But God has given it to us. So yes, seed is a given thing. The gospel, it is a given thing. Secondly, seed has life and power within itself. Seed may be small, very small, but it can produce so, so much. There's so much power in such a little thing. And likewise, to the world, the gospel may seem simple, may seem a small thing. That doesn't sound like anything interesting. That doesn't offer me any life. But that's not true. What does Romans 1:16 say? "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes." John 10:10 says, "I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly." So yes, seed is a given thing. Gospel is a given thing. Secondly, seed has life and power within itself. And the gospel has life and power within itself. Thirdly, for a seed to do any good, it has to be planted. It has to be planted. You know, if you want to produce much fruit, it's pointless leaving your seed in the bag. You have to plant that seed for it to produce fruit. And you know, the gospel's just the same. You have to share it with people, or it will never work in people's hearts and lives. Men and women can never be saved if we're not willing to share the gospel message. So yes, we've seen the sower. We've seen the seed. The seed is a given thing. Seed has life and power within itself. And the seed is only any ever good if you sow it. But let us just look now, for the time that we have remaining, at these different kind of soils. And these soils are like people's hearts. They're like the different kind of hearers of the gospel message. You see, that Jesus, as I've already said, was speaking this parable to a great multitude of people. And I'm sure as Jesus was looking out of this great crowd, he was thinking in his head, I can see all four of these different kind of hearers. Oh, there's the hearer over there that doesn't want to hear. There's the hearer over there that understands and actually believes. There was all those different kind of hearers right in front of him. But what is the main point of this parable? Well, I think verse 8 and verse 18 really sum up the point of this parable. And Jesus said, when he had said these things, he cried, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 18, therefore take heed how you hear. Whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him. You see, it's all how we hear. Whether we hear this message of the gospel, and we respond to it. So as we look at these different types of hearers, I'm going to actually name them as hearts. I want us all to see which kind of heart we have to the Lord Jesus Christ. What kind of soil are we to this seed? So first, I've named the first one a hard heart. And that is in verse 5 and verse 12, where Jesus explains himself. So verse 5, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. And verse 12, those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Jesus could quite easily have been stood in a field when he was speaking this to this great multitude. And I'm sure that there was a path probably going through that field. Now back in Israel in the day when Jesus was around, there was no A59s or M6s. There was all little paths heading from village to village through each other's fields. And those paths would split up the fields. And as people walked on those paths, they would harden the track. It would be nearly as hard as rock. And if you'd ever chucked any seed on it, it would never grow. It would never grow. It would never be able to get into the ground. And it would be easy picking for the crows. About a year ago, me and Rosie went on holiday up Scotland. And when we were on holiday, maybe I decided to go for a walk. Rosie's not the keenest on walking, but we decided to go on a walk. And we walked up Ben Nevis. And as we were walking up Ben Nevis, I didn't drag her, she was willing to come up. As we walked up Ben Nevis, we went up the track, and this track was all perfectly stoned and perfectly set out. Somebody had obviously set it up for walking up Ben Nevis, obviously. And as we got maybe halfway, we saw a lot of people heading off in a different direction. And we thought, well, being a normal worldly person as I were, I thought we'd follow the crowd. And we followed the crowd off the path. And we were cutting a corner out of the track. And you see on this track that the people hadn't stoned it. It had just been people walking off and cutting the corner off. And you could see on the ground where people had walked in different places. And it hardened the ground. That's just like the soil in this passage. If you chucked seed on it, it would never be able to germinate. There would never be any grass grow on it because it had been hardened by people's feet. You see, this path represents the kinds of people who hear the word, hear the gospel, but they do nothing with it. They don't even think about it. They don't even try to work out what it means. In many ways, it goes straight over their heads. There's no chance to get to their hearts. Just the other day, I'd started splitting some logs. Me and Rosie have a wood burner in our house. Tried to keep the electricity down. And we were splitting some logs, and we came to a knotty piece. A piece where the tree had split into two, and it's really knotty. That's what you call it. And whether you'd had a sharp axe or a blunt axe, as soon as you whack that piece of knotty wood, just bounced straight off. I couldn't do anything with it. And that's like these hard-hearted people. The message hits them, but it just bounces off. They don't care about it. They don't think about it. They don't do anything about it. The text actually says that birds came and snatched away the seed. The devil came and took away the message of the gospel. Those people walk home unresponsive, walk home as hard-hearted as when they came. And you know, to be honest, I meet a lot of these kind of people anyway. Try to talk to them about the Lord and about the Bible and about the Lord Jesus. Just get a blank look. I don't want to know about that. That's not for me. That's the last thing I need to think about. That's the last thing I need to know about. They have a hard heart to the message of the gospel. But as I'm here tonight, can I ask, maybe that's you. Maybe you've heard the offer of the gospel before, that Jesus offers new life, forgiveness, peace with God, and eternal life with the Lord Jesus forever through his death, burial, and resurrection. And yet it means nothing to you. Well, can I ask you, would you take heed to Psalm 95? Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the day of rebellion. You don't always have to be the hard-hearted soil. So yes, we've seen the hard heart. Then we see the shallow heart in verse 6 and verse 13. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And verse 13. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. Now this seed is thrown on soil that's very shallow, and there's a bedrock underneath. And there'll be a lot of that in Israel and Palestine. I've never been, but I've been told it's fairly rocky over there. And the seed would sprout up really quickly because the rock would be hotter than the soil, and it would make that part of that soil warmer, so it would spring up quicker than any other seed. But as soon as the sun came out and scorched that little plant, it would wilt away. I used to live just outside Settle, and there's some hills just outside Settle. And in a summer that's really wet, those hills grow loads of grass. Those hills seem to do really well. But then when it comes a year where it's warm and dry, the sun scorches it because the soil's thin. There's limestone underneath. And it goes brown, and the grass withers away. You see, these kinds of hearers are emotional hearers. They hear it with their heads. They maybe accept it to be true in their heads. Grow up quickly. Look like they're doing so well. But the pressures of life, the persecutions of life come, and they just wither away. They don't have deep roots. They're shallow. Maybe you know somebody like this. They look like they're on fire for the Lord once, but then they've just withered away. Persecutions come. Hard times have come, and they've just withered away. And in many ways, they're as much an unbeliever as the hard-hearted person. You see, they look like a believer till the rubber hit the road. Profession meant nothing, and they never produced fruit. Warren Wiersbe said it like this: persecution can deepen the roots of a true Christian, but it only exposes the shallowness of a false Christian. Persecution can deepen the roots of a true Christian, but it only exposes the shallowness of a false Christian. You know, is this you? Maybe you understand that the gospel in your head, but it's never got to your heart. It's just in your head. And when it really comes down to it, if testing or times of trial came, if you lost a loved one, then it would mean nothing to you. Then the Lord would mean nothing to you. Then I ask you, what kind of heart are you? Are you this kind of heart? Would you realise what Christ has done for you? That he didn't just come to this earth to give you an easy life. A life without trouble, a life without hardship. No, he came to forgive. He came to give you peace with God. Not to make it easy, but you can know your Creator. And so you could have a sure foundation for the future. So yes, we've seen the hard heart. We've seen the shallow heart. Thirdly, we see the divided heart, a thorny ground. Verse 7 and 14. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. verse 14. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. Again, in Israel, thorns were common. They were growing in massive, great clumps, I'm told, and they would be really hard to get rid of. They didn't have any Roundup back in them days. You'd have to slash them down with I don't know what they slash them down with, but they were hard to get rid of back then. And you see, this seed had grown up with these thorns. And if you know anything about thorns and weeds seem to grow any quicker than what you actually want there. And that's probably what the thorns did. They grew very quickly, and the seed was choked away. You see, the seed had to compete with these thorns for air, for water, for sun. And the thorns won. And the seed again produced no fruit. Can you see a similarity here with these three kinds of soils? None of them produced fruit. The seed was thrown there, but none of them produced fruit. You see, this is the kind of hearer. This is the kind of heart who, yes, they pay interest in the message. Again, they look like they're saved, and yet they gradually fall away. There's enough soil for the roots to go down, but there's not enough room or air for the plant to grow up and produce fruit. And you know, there are many weeds in our lives that we can put in our lives that take our eyes off the Saviour. I think a great example of this kind of soil in Scripture is Herod in Mark 6. Herod has put John the Baptist in prison. And it actually says that Herod didn't mind going and listening. He liked to go and listen to John the Baptist preach. But when John the Baptist pointed the finger at Herod and said, "You shouldn't be with your brother Philip's wife," he started to listen to his wife more than John the Baptist. And ultimately it came down to he beheaded John the Baptist and listened to his wife. The things around him, cares, riches, and pleasures of life, took his eyes off the Lord. So what are the thorns that stop these kinds of people growing and producing fruit? Well, it says, it names them off as three of them. The first one is cares, worries, anxieties. These are the kinds of cares that eat away at your soul, little by little. You see, when we worry, we take our eyes off the Lord and the blessing and the grace that He has given us, and we place our eyes upon the worry. You know, as Christians even, we can sometimes do that, worry far too much. But you see, this kind of hearer, they worried so that it took their eyes completely off the Lord Jesus. You see, they stop seeking and stop growing, and they never produce fruit. It's cares, and then there's riches. Those who are choked by their craving for money, for wealth. They hear the gospel message, but the greed for money takes their place. Takes the place the Lord Jesus should have done. And they become a man who produces no fruit. A great example of this is in Luke 12. Luke 12, verse 13. Then one from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge and arbiter over you?" And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have made goods laid up for you many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'" That's a great example of one of these kind of hearers. Yes, they hear the message, but the money, the wealth, the riches of the world take their eyes off Jesus. Cares, riches, the last one is pleasures of life. Now, there are two kinds of pleasures in this world. There are those that we shouldn't do at all. Maybe drunkenness, drugs, gambling, adultery, many others that you could list off. Then there are those who that are all right to do, unless we indulge in them too much. Like games or sports or entertainment. Pleasures of life that can take again this kind of hearer away from the Lord. You see, this is a heart that is divided. They see Jesus on the cross. They see him hung there on our behalf. But they don't just see him on the cross, they actually see him actually die for them. They don't just see him die for them, but they also see him that he rose again to give them eternal life. But the cares, the riches, and the pleasures of life take their eyes off Christ. And they put their eyes upon themselves, and they never produce fruit. Again, can I ask, is that you? It could be so easy to be that kind of hearer. Look so good to other believers. But when it really comes down to it, the things around you are taking your eyes off the Lord. Now, a few weeks ago, I was looking at this passage, and as I read through this passage, a fear really started to come upon me. You see, it's so easy to see that the hard-hearted person. You can go up to somebody in the street, and you're going to know if they're going to be a hard-hearted person or not. But when it comes to the shallow and divided heart, there could be many a church full of them kind of people today. They look like they're saved, but they're not truly born again. They look like they know the Lord. They've never really had any things that take their eyes off the Lord. They've never had a testing, but they've never produced fruit. And as I stand before everyone here tonight, I don't know where your hearts are. I don't know what kind of hearer you are. The Lord knows. But the wonderful good news is we don't have to be one of these three. There is a final soil. A fourth soil. And that gives me hope. So yes, we've seen the hard heart. We've seen the shallow one. We've seen the shallow one. And we've seen the divided heart. But then we see the understanding heart in verse 8 and 15. But others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop 100-fold. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. You see, there wasn't just paths in Israel. There wasn't just rocky patches. There wasn't just great clumps of thistles. There was good soil. Soil that had been prepared. Soil that had been ready for the seed to be thrown upon. It had been broken up, it had been stone picked, it had been weed pulled. It was ready and perfect for the seed. And this kind of hearer has an understanding heart. First we notice that they hear the word. They hear the wonderful message of salvation through Jesus and Jesus alone. They hear again that they can have peace with God and be born from above. But the wonderful thing is they don't just hear it like the rest of them. They keep it. They keep it. Now this word to keep is to hold down or to possess. The best way of illustrating is like when a criminal is seized by the police. He can't get away. He's got his knee upon him and he can't get away. He's within those handcuffs. When he's put in prison, he's seized upon it. He can't get out of prison. And you see this kind of hearer. They hear the word, but they keep it. They're seized by it. They cannot leave it. They have to act upon it. They can't get away from it. So yes, they hear it, they keep it, but then they bear fruit. And that's the whole point, as I've said, of planting seed. It needs to produce fruit. So what are the few different kinds of fruit that they can produce? Well, number one, soul winner. Now, you can be a soul winner. That's one kind of seed that you can produce. Now, if I was to go home tonight and plant an apple pip, and a plum tree or a tomato plant suddenly growed up out of that pot, I would wonder what in the world is going on. But it doesn't, does it? A seed produces after its own kind. And you see, us as Christians, when we share the gospel message, the wonderful thing is somebody should get saved and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to win them to the Lord. So yes, we can soul win. We can give financially to the work of the Lord. Let me make that clear. This is fruit, not how we get saved, but it's fruit that we can produce from being a Christian. Christian character, knowing the fruits of the Spirit and having the fruits of the Spirit in our life. In Galatians chapter 5 verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. So yes, we can produce fruit for soul winning, for giving, Christian character, but also for good works, simply helping out at chapel, helping out in other ways. And there's many more other kinds of fruit that we can produce. So as we draw to an end of this passage, what can we have learned? What can we have learned from this passage? Number one, sow the seed. Sow the seed. Whether you're going to get a good response, whether you're going to get a bad response, doesn't matter. Sow the seed. Jesus said, basically, not all is going to grow. But without sowing, how will it ever grow? The gospel will never change people's lives if you leave it in the bag, if you leave it in the Bible, if you leave it in your own heart. But we need to spread it and share it to the people around. So number one, sow the seed. Number two, don't worry if you see no fruit. Whether you're before a great multitude or whether you're just before one or two, it doesn't matter. Our job is to sow and the Lord will make it grow. The Bible says in the Old Testament that God's word will not return to him void. And if we are willing to sow the seed, we can leave the producing up to the Lord. Number one, sow the seed. Number two, don't worry if you see no fruit. Number three, I want to ask each one in here, may you evaluate what kind of soil you are. You could be here and you've maybe come to church many a time. You've maybe never come before. You maybe know the Bible back to front, but you've never trusted the Lord Jesus as your own personal saviour. Well, you see, the thing is, by nature, we're all those first three kinds of soil. We all want to go against the Lord and push the seed away. But the wonderful thing is, we can be that good soil. Jesus said, assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Can I ask tonight, have you been converted? Have you been born again? Sow the seed. Don't worry if you see no fruit. I want you to evaluate what kind of soil you are. Whether you're hard, shallow, divided, or whether you are that understanding heart that has been saved. Fourthly and lastly, keep producing fruit. Don't waver. Keep going. Keep walking with the Lord. And keep talking with him. And keep producing fruit for the Lord. And as I look out over each one here that's gathered here tonight, in many ways there could be all four of these kinds of hearers. I don't know. I don't know people's hearts. That does place a fear in me. It really does. But that does place a hope in me. That we have in the Bible, that we have understanding hearts, hearts that are willing to hear, hearts that are willing to keep and produce fruit for the Lord. What kind of heart have you got? And are you willing to produce fruit for him? As believers, are we producing fruit for the Lord day by day? Well, that's all I've got to share. And we're gonna finish with a hymn. I had actually prepared to speak a different kind of message, so I picked a different hymn. So this hymn is it's just been picked about an hour since. So it's a good hymn though. And it's 676. I think it's "There Is No Love Like the Love of Jesus."
Precious love, boundless and pure and free. suffering soul, Jesus, pleadeth with thee. There is no heart like the heart of Jesus, filled with a tender love. No throb, no throe that our hearts can know, but it feels it above. Jesus, love, precious love, boundless and pure and free. Oh, turn to that love, weary wandering soul, Jesus, leadeth with me. Oh, let us hark to the voice of Jesus. Oh, may we never roam till safe we rest in his loving breast, till the dear heavenly home. Jesus, love, precious love, boundless and pure and free. Turn to that love, weary wandering soul, Jesus, lead with thee.
Let's just pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for how it changes our hearts and our lives. And I thank you that there isn't just three kinds of hearers, but there is a fourth, and that we can come to know you as our own personal Saviour. Thank you for what you did there at Calvary and how you did come to this earth. You provided for us on that cross on our behalf. So I thank you for this night. Pray that you just be with us in our fellowship also. In Christ's name. Amen. Amen.